The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to start this sermon with a rhetorical question, just something to think about, and it's a simple question of, do you agree or disagree with this statement? Agree or disagree? The world needs people who tell us the truth, even when it's really hard to hear. The world needs people who tell us the truth, even when it's hard to hear. This is not a statement about being politically correct, like I shoot from the hip, I say it like it is, and it's not about trying to tell the truth in everyday little dealings, like, hey, you have spinach stuck in your teeth. It's big truths I'm talking about, speaking big truths about how we're doing and what direction we're headed as a people, or a church, or a family, a whole group. Do we, or don't we, need someone with the courage to tell us when we are going backwards instead of forwards? I believe we do need that, and I believe that's why God always sent prophets and continues to give us prophets. As we're learning about each week, thinking about these people called prophets, we see that they are not just meant to predict the future. They look at the present, what's happening right around them in their day and time, and they're called to have the guts to say, what you're doing is not right. You can do better than this. And the beautiful thing about that, I think, is that God does not try to keep the truth to himself. God doesn't make us guess and feel around in the dark for how we're supposed to live. God gives us signs, and he sends us people who do tell us the truth, but we have to be listening. And the problem is, most of the time, all human beings, we aren't listening. Jeremiah is one of these major prophets, the Bible calls him, because he spoke a lot to the people. There are dozens of chapters of what he had to say, and he's pretty important. God appointed him to speak on God's behalf about corruption happening in his own nation and to all the other nations, to enemy nations. He was called to go to them and point out ways that they needed to change, to turn around and change direction. And he was not a popular guy for this. His own nation of Israel would definitely shoot the messenger, so to speak, when it came to Jeremiah. So he would get mocked, beaten, thrown in a well, even thrown in prison, just for saying what God told him to say to his people. We might agree, most of us, that we need to hear hard truths, but we also know we don't receive them very well. Jeremiah knew that better than anybody. And Jeremiah was no dummy. He got this call at the age of 12 or 13 years old. Some of the youngest in our youth group. Can you imagine that? 12 or 13. And he was no dummy. He did not want this call. He knew that he was young and inexperienced. And he thought to himself, what would I say? Will they listen to me? And God flat out told him in the reading I read, no. They probably won't listen to you, but you have to tell them anyway. And Jeremiah knew that trying to speak what God wanted to say to his people would be extra, extra hard because of the political scene around him. Because when he was born, his nation had been divided in two for over 200 years. So just imagine, for instance, if the Civil War in our country had actually succeeded in dividing us, if we were living as two separate nations. That's what he was living with. And there was intense rivalry because each side thought, we're the ones who really own God. We're the ones who get what God's about. Their division made them very weak and vulnerable. And as that saying goes, divided, we fall, right? So Israel did fall. They were conquered by Assyria. That northern kingdom was conquered. And the southern kingdom was spared. Like you heard last week, some of you, the southern kingdom did not get conquered back in Isaiah's time. But there was a new world power coming for them. And they just thought, we were kept safe in Jerusalem. Nothing is going to happen to us. We were kept safe, and now we can ensure that nothing bad will happen if we just get more religious. That was their response to being kept safe. They got more religious. They went to temple more. They gave more offerings. But nothing in their lives outside the temple really changed at all. So in fact, one of the main points of Jeremiah's big long message is that people had basically turned the temple into nothing more than a good luck charm. It was empty ritual, all of their religion. Being religious is not the same thing as knowing God, right? They were still continuing greedy practices that exploited the poor and the needy. They were still following other gods. As soon as they left the temple, they would make offerings to other gods just to cover their bases. And then they would assume, God is on my side. We've heard that before, right? They would say, God is on my side no matter what, and nothing else is required of me. I just have to go to temple, do what I'm supposed to do. And Jeremiah was there to tell them that they were wrong. Well, who wants to hear that? Even the strongest among us would get so defensive and have a hard time believing it. And yet Jeremiah was not only giving bad news, the people of Israel were so stuck because they were offended at him saying this destruction was coming that they weren't hearing the part of the message about God building and planting something new. One of the things that they were really stuck in, they had this fixed mindset of God physically, literally dwelling in the temple. So it would be like us saying, we have to go to church because God is only here at COA. He's not out there in the world. He's right here, and we can come and just take him in. Enough for our week. He's only right here. They were thinking that, and so when Jeremiah was saying, your temple's going to be destroyed, they're wondering, where's God going to go with no temple? So the good news of Jeremiah's message is when this crisis, this destruction of life as you know it happens, God is going to dwell with you everywhere. You will really understand that God is out there with you everywhere amongst real problems and real people. And so he was telling the people, you need to live like that's true, like God is out there in the world with you. It's a powerful message. But Jeremiah did not want to be the one to deliver it. You heard he was full of all these excuses as to why God had the wrong guy. And Jeremiah wasn't wrong about that. He was too young to go and speak these hard truths to national leaders. How many of us would balk if one of our teenagers said, I'm called to go to Syria and preach to their leaders that God is going to send destruction? It sounds crazy. It's too much to ask of a teenager. But this is so typical of God. God does this all the time. If you look back in the Bible, there are so many leaders who did not want to embrace their calling. Moses had this criminal past, and when God called him to free his people from slavery, he said, "You've got the wrong guy. I've got a stutter. I can't even speak in public." But he was the one to do it. And then David said, all my brothers hate me. I'm the runt of this family. I can't be the one to be king. But we know he was the king. And there's a lesser known story about this widow who only had a handful of meal and a jug of oil. And with that, she saved the life of the prophet Elijah. And we definitely know that Jesus himself, he chose disciples who were uneducated, uncouth, and unpopular among their people. All these examples, all these people, they could only give so much. And Jeremiah said those poignant words, I'm only a boy. But God can do so much with all of our onlys. So what are our excuses for God today? Do we find ourselves bristling up at the idea that God might be asking something of us? Asking us to do something? Asking us to speak some truth to our corner of the world? Maybe we think like Israel, hey, isn't it enough that I showed up at church today? I'm here, right? 2 weeks in a row I'm here, for goodness sakes. I've got other things I'm busy with. Don't some of us get into that mindset like we feel put upon? Is God really asking something else of us? I'll be the first one to admit it can be very tempting to get defensive when you feel that little nudge from God, like you think, aren't I doing enough? This is going to be hard. Many of us probably also rationalize that if we are called to do something, or if someone asks us to do something, that they must be wrong, because surely God does know us and understands all of our weaknesses, right? God knows he wants someone that's not so old. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too prone to depression. I'm only educated this much, and that's not enough. I've only been a Christian this long, and that's not enough. I'm only a homemaker. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not outgoing enough. I'm only one person. That's the big one. There's no end to all the ways that we try to get out of where God might lead us. But here's the thing. Our world still needs prophets. It still needs people who are willing to speak the truth and listen for the truth that God would tell us. The prophets just look a little different about our society's status quo. So for example, for me, some of the most moving, thought-provoking reflections on racism I've ever heard come from some little comedy club with very salty language and a personal story from a comedian like that. Because they kind of get those walls down and then they speak truth. That's being a prophet, friends. And then where else do we see it? My mind went right to the youngest people in our society, our children and our youth. So just think about children. A lot of us have had our egos or feelings hurt because children don't have it in them to put on a front or try to stop and think, I'm not going to say that. That's not very nice. If they don't like what you're wearing or how your hair looks or they think that you've gained weight, they will tell you, won't they? Because children don't have it in them to play the game that we've learned to play as adults, to tell people just what they want to hear. Children tell the truth. And our youth, they tell the truth too, and they have a connection to hope that maybe a lot of us are struggling to hang on to. A lot of our younger people have hope and drive enough to fuel whole movements like the March for Our Lives. And we know that drew over 800,000 people, marchers all around the country protesting gun violence, and the majority of them were very, very young. Only boys, only girls. And didn't those of us who watched that watch more carefully because they were so young? Because we marveled at how they could have so much passion and so much pain inside at such a young age. Those young people speaking their fears, talking about the things that they want to see changed, that was truth that we all needed to hear. So that's them being prophets. There are so many issues that we face today that are no different from biblical times. We are still a part of systems, whether willing or not, that exploit the most vulnerable. We still chase after other gods, and they don't look like Baal or Asherah or some of these gods, but they look like our smartphones or our convenience or our economic security. We know the things deep down that pull us away from trust in God. We don't have physical kings in our society anymore, and we don't have people like Isaiah and Jeremiah. They don't look like that. There's only you and I. So if we don't find a way to hear and speak truth to our world, who's going to do it? When we are the ones who are God's people, the prophets are going to have to be us. We are still called. The world still needs it. We all come upon injustices in our little corners, in our schools, our neighborhoods, even in our churches, our faith communities. We see these things where we have areas of influence where we could say something because people look to us and they respect us. Some people out there, just by being themselves, challenge others around them. Because just being themselves is something that's hard for others to grapple with. We all will have those opportunities to tell the truth, and it might hurt, but if God is leading us to tell that truth, it's always in the service of love, of a deeper vision. So I want all of you to just think in your head about which of those excuses are your go-tos, which ones just rise right to mind. Too young, too shy, too stressed, whatever it is, just picture that excuse. And I want you to picture it just blotted out with one word, chosen. Chosen, because we are all still chosen, every one of us. God continues to seek out leaders who don't want to be leaders. God's way is always to take what the world finds powerful and impressive and just turn it over on its head so that when something is accomplished in the name of peace or love, the world has to give glory to God because we were not the obvious ones for the job, right? It's just like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure in jars of clay, that don't look like much, so that it may be clear that the power that the world sees in us comes from God. It's not from us. I've seen some of you here in church take on callings, saying, to hell with my excuses. I'm going to try this, and with God's help, something good will come out of it. I asked these people before I gave them as examples, but I think of someone like Judy Clark, who took on the role of mission elder the year before she turned 80, and she was nervous about that. But she's given such energy and passion to making mental health a part of our mission that it's really energized me for my ministry. It's impacted a lot of us. And then I think of Miss Lori Gardner, who's worked with a lot of our youth, and how she's going to seminary after decades of working a whole other career, because she has listened to God's nudging long enough. And she's heard enough of us say, we see gifts in you. There's so many of you like that who are answering callings. So I wonder who else here is feeling the nudge of God towards something, big or small. No one says that answering it's going to be easy. God did not say to Jeremiah, there's nothing to be afraid of. Big difference. God said, do not be afraid. I'll be with you. I'll rescue you. Didn't say there was nothing to be afraid of. God chose Jeremiah for a reason, and he chooses each of us to do what we're supposed to do for a reason. Because just like that book I read, The Kids, each of you is the only one who can make the body of Christ come to life in your world, your neighborhood, your area, the way that you do. You're the only one that can put flesh on God's spirit out there in the world the way that you do. And nobody can replace that. So I want to close with a special prayer about calling from the naval sea captain and explorer, Sir Francis Drake. He writes, disturb us, Lord, when we're too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where, losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Amen.
There's a difference between planning and